Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode here with your host, The D is Silent. It's a Monday morning, just before Thanksgiving. I think it's November 20th. Let me see. It might be the 21st. No, it's the 20th. 2023. It's about 6:30 in the morning. I'm on my way to work. Let's get this episode started. Get it started and build. So, get it going. Get its legs going. Wake it up. You know, start building this episode. We finished Loki. We finished Ms. Marvel. And Ms. Marvel is flopping, or the Marvels is flopping in theaters. But it's not indicative to how good the movie actually was. I think it's a lot has to do. Let's start there. It has a lot to do with, I don't think people are, you know, I don't know. Maybe just, I thought it was a fun movie. A little fast. But I thought it was a very fun movie. I thought it was actually top tier fighting. I don't know if I give it like a 7.5 or 8 out of 10. It's about right where it should be. It's not the greatest Marvel movie that they've come out with. But what I think is a lot of people just did not want to see three women fighting the superheroes and taking over the team, essentially. I think that's what it was. And then a lot had to do with, you know, just, they weren't allowed to promote it. I think it could have done with some promotion by the actors and by the studio. There was a strike going on. Should they have delayed the movie? I think so. I think they could have delayed it, but I don't know. They got kind of shoehorned in, and it's a problem that Marvel may encounter going forward. You know, they can't really have any delays because they have all these movies billed to come out. You know, you can't really have, and multiple movies coming out. It's not like a studio. Like, if you yourself were to work on a project, let's say you're working on a float for a, you know, for the Rose Parade in the New Year's, okay? Well, you only have one. Or maybe that's a bad example. But if you were working on a project and, you know, you have a deadline. Most people have deadlines in their jobs. You're allowed to be delayed a few days, not months. And then on top of that, you're not working on like three or four other projects that are also being delayed. Most of the time, that's not the case with normal people. And it just, I know the director is working on other things. The actors are working on other things. The whole studio is, Marvel Studios is working on other things. And with the strike and just with circumstance, they couldn't just stop what they were doing, delay it for till next year, which would have been optimal for next year, because they only have one movie coming out next year, the MCU. I believe that's Deadpool is the only Marvel movie coming out. Sony's got some coming out, but it's the only Marvel movie. They could have pushed it to next year. But I don't think Marvel wanted to, for Sony's sake. You know, they're not trying to cross their toes. I think Marvel went ahead and said, you know what, we'll put it out, we'll hope for the best, and at least we'll try to break even, you know, seeing as we didn't market it and all that. And then you just got that coupled with the fact that I don't think a lot of guys or a lot of people were interested in watching an all-female superhero movie. I am. I've been watching all these Marvel projects, everything up to this point. And I thought the movie was good. I thought actually this Ms. or Captain Marvel, the original part one, should have been like a miniseries if they knew they were going to do miniseries. But this is before that, And this should have been, the Marvel should have been Captain Marvel's like first solo movie. As a first solo movie, this is up there with all the other good solo first movies, like Captain America. It's probably a little bit better, just in action wise and in story. And everybody's saying that the villain didn't play a big role. I think it did. I think she did. It was a little fast, but I think the villain played a tremendous role in what we know has happened in Secret Invasion. The Skrulls went to Earth, and it's more Skrulls on Earth. You know, all the things that happened with Gravik and all that, and Maya. We'll see what happens there. We also know that it ties into, you know, the Thor, you know, with Valkyrie coming and taking them, using Bifrost magic to teleport them. We have the destruction that is seemingly already is Hala, and they're just bringing it back. We've got to see shades of the Annihilator. Hopefully that's a variant going forward. I think Captain Marvel could use that arc going forward. We want to see, and maybe Marvel actually botched that a little bit, because I really feel like we could have used like 3 to 5 minutes of her just destroying Hala, like completely destroying it. I think this is more tailored. Again, this is more tailored. Maybe it'll. What they should do is they should go and shoot these things, and it just be coupled with the movie as like an extended cut. I don't know if that's possible now, but it should have been. They should have filmed all of that, and then they should have went and done some reshoots. You know, just little ones, and finish the product. You know, or finish some scenes and then come out as like a 15 minute special about the Marvels or Captain Marvel as the Annihilator, and have that arc in there somewhere. But nonetheless, it's flopping. Again, I kind of feel like those reasons kind of really hindered it. But I think Marvel stays okay. Marvel be all right. It's not like it's in its infancy. It's not, the ball is already rolling. I don't care what anybody says about this phase leading up to what potentially is the next Avengers movie in Kang Dynasty. They're bolstering the roster. They're bringing up to speed some characters. They're shelving some characters. Like Loki is shelved temporarily for a while, or maybe ever, I don't know. Iron Man is gone. Captain America is gone. We've now gotten the new Captain America, who's going to wear that mantle, and this and that and the other thing. We've got Moon Knight. We've got Ms. Marvel. We've got, you know, Rambo's out there with the X-Men now. You know, Spectrum. We've got a slew of other Shang-Chi. And they're building back the roster. And I completely, for all intents and purposes, I completely understand what Marvel is doing. Now we've got a whole new roster of characters. We've got a lot of plot points that they could just pull from and tie together. And eventually they are. They're going to pull it all together. And they're just like your favorite sports team or your favorite company. You know, your favorite sports team wins a championship or two, and then players move on, people retire, coaches leave. You know, if your franchise is a good franchise, if you're the Lakers, you're the Yankees, or the Patriots, or, you know, Steelers, or anybody of these other teams that are really good, what they do is they draft new players into their squad. They have X amount of veterans left over that can, you know, prop up the new guys. They get a new coach, they change up maybe the style a little bit, so it's not an exact repeat of what they did, but you know, similar but very different, but also works. You know, and then the playbooks in the plays that they have to execute down the road, and Marvel's been executing a lot of plays. We've got a lot of things, the Marvel stays being talked about. They've got Spider-Man out there. What are they going to do with something? There's a lot of plays being made. And don't get me wrong. I mean, when they finally all this story comes back together, they're going to look back at this phase as being like, this is something that has never been accomplished or never been done. But a studio or as a franchise, you know, when they pull it all together and it works, because I believe it'll work. I don't think this is not going to work. I think they're gearing up for Fantastic Four and Blade and Eternals 2 and Shang-Chi 2 and the Avengers, Kang Dynasty, potential Doctor Doom coming, Galactus coming. We've got all this stuff coming. And I mean, Marvel eventually is going to step up to the plate again. And believe me, I've been on the receiving end of franchises bastardizing. I mean, I'm no Patriots fan at all. I'm a Raiders fan. And it just sucked watching them win over and over and over and repeating the Super Bowl. And I was hating on them. I've been hating on them for fucking 20 years. I continue to hate on them. As a matter of fact, I'm actually rolling around giddier than a kid watching them finally get their due justice served to them. You know, watching them be 2-8 is just watching the team fall apart, like, finally. But it took a long time to get there, and they still have pieces of the puzzle. Kevin Feige and Marvel's get full-handed, and Disney's also full-handed committed to the process. And they're still turning out movies. You know, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness is a big hit. They had a lot of big hits. Spider-Man's are big hits. They already know that it's not a fatigue. It's what people want to see. And they got some big projects coming out. Deadpool next year, I think, will... I don't even know what it's about. Until a trailer drops, we won't know what it's about or how it might play into any role. But Deadpool 3 is about pull its sword out and really cut into what people are thinking is Marvel is just done. Because it's not. It's just not. And then I'm excited for Blade. Ever since the original Blaze came out, I loved all the first original. And I hope that with all this multiverse, I hope we get a Wesley Snipes later during the Kingdom. I mean, I hope Marvel, and I believe Marvel, and they should have Marvel, and they probably already have contacted Wesley Snipes and say, hey, look, we have a new Blade coming out. We have this thing where we're going to pull together a lot of old characters. We would love for you to cross with him as an older Blade, as a maybe a Blade from like the future, to help your Blade out, to help the new Blade out. But we also have like two projects where we could use it. Could sign him up for two future projects. I hope that's already made. Give him $1 million or something. You know, we need you for roughly 15-20 minutes of screen time. And I believe Wesley was not... I hope he didn't say no, but I hope that that's the case. And even if he doesn't, it's still the possibility is there. But still, Blade is still coming. I mean, it's another one that, you know, I'm excited for. The Fantastic Four should do numbers just based off of... They had a couple of tries at it, and now, I think with the right circumstance, now it can flourish just like the Avengers are now flourishing, and now, you know, certain projects now can flourish under the branch of Disney and not under, you know, Fox or Sony or whatever. But with all that said, you know, the Marvels is not doing too good money wise. But I think eventually, and I think it should be noted that a lot of people just skip the movie theaters right now and just watch it on the streaming platform. Because what's the point of watching it in the theaters? And I go to the movie theaters. I do. But what I can't stand about the movie theaters now is the pricing. The fucking tickets sometimes are like 20, 30 bucks just for the movies. And then everything in there is expensive. You cannot just take your family to go see movies at will because it's fucking expensive. $100 is still $100 to most people. But to go watch a movie, if you're a married couple with two kids and you wanted to go to those cinemas where you could like recline and be chill, you know, heated seats, each ticket is like 20 bucks plus taxes, plus Fandango fees, because you know everybody's not in the beginning seats. It's not just first come first serve anymore. And then you're gonna get popcorn and soda there, and it's just like all that shit's expensive. And when I mean it's expensive, for me it's not, but I understand if you're a young kid in today's day and age, you know, out of high school, in high school, even in your early 20s, going to the movies with your homies is just not, it's just not the move. Because it's expensive and there isn't an emphasis much on going to movie theaters these days. You know? So, and a lot of people already subscribed to Disney. They're already subscribed to Netflix. Most kids I know watch Netflix. They're on, you know, you could get Disney, Hulu, and ESPN. Some of them have it, some of them don't. But they're subscribed to, you know, like Amazon Prime as well. This Peacock shit. Vudu. There's a ton of them. You know, a lot of them have Fire Sticks. And they could just stream the shit. So I think Disney needs to sit down somewhere and really like figure out the streaming platform part of it. Because I remember back in the day, they would come out with the movie in theaters, and then they would do, you can get it on DVD or VHS. And then after some time, then it was available for streaming. I know they're going straight to streaming. Like I expect the Marvels to probably be in streaming sometime by February next year. Maybe 4 months past its date. Enough time would have passed. And it's just, to me, that's actually too short of a time. They should put the DVD for sale. Even though but nobody does DVDs anymore. A lot of places, not even that has changed. So I don't know. There's a lot of change, you know, that's hindering some things. You know, and Marvel's not the only one to feel the pain. DC has long felt the pain. And, you know, what else? There's a lot of studios that pump out movies. Although Five Nights at Freddy's made like, I don't know, it's made a lot of money. Barbie has made a lot of money. Super Mario's made a lot of money. So, you know, we'll see what happens going forward with streaming and all that. But I think Disney needs to really figure out how to do it and do, you know, when to put movies out. You know, put movies out and then take them off for a little bit. Because right now, I could watch all the Marvel movies. It might take me like a month, but I watch them and then that's it. Like, they should showcase movies. Like, if they're going to, you know, Doctor Strange 1. But they should take off Multiverse of Madness for a little bit. So that way, if you know, they should do that, I think. Even though you're a member of it, I mean, still, like, you know, I don't know, just the little things, little bit of things. But either way, before we move on and segue to the next topics here, one last little bit, tidbit information. I did hear Pedro Pascal is being eyed, or maybe he's already Mr. Fantastic, and Javier Bardem. If they pull that off and they get it done, I mean, Galactus is one of my favorite characters, maybe of all time. I've been waiting for the right Galactus to appear. I've loved Galactus since the cartoons. I've loved him in Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I love me some Galactus. And I don't want, I mean, now that it's, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Now that it can be done right, I want it done right. I want this Galactus to fucking tear shit up, so to speak. And if it's Javier Bardem, bro, I want him to be sized down to humans to interact with some of the heroes, you know, a little bit. And some of the villains, too. I mean, who knows what roles he's going to play. Hopefully, they get it done. But moving on from all that Marvel talk, we're going to get into a little bit of Monarch Legacy of Monsters and just talk a little bit about Demon Slayer. Finally, I finished it. So, I'll be right back. Hang tight. And I'll catch you guys in a moment. Okay, let's get into it. So, I'm back. And as we're going to get into it, let's talk a little bit of Godzilla Legacy of Monsters. I gotta say, it's a good story. It's lacking a little bit in monster action, but I don't really know if they were going for that. But the story is really good, actually. From what I could take from watching the first two episodes, Monarch has been monitoring, but not stopping or doing anything. So they're kind of trying to paint Monarch as like a villain, so to speak, in like a very villainous like way. Like if there's a massive cover up, some sort of government conspiracy, and I get it. I wouldn't have necessarily gone that route, but I think they kind of had to, because like the monsters have been hidden for a while, and I think they were just like, okay, well, they had been kept secret from the public for a long time, and maybe that they didn't want people disturbing the animals. So they set up like a kind of like a military, their own little private military force to stop people from disturbing these animals. I think they had if you go all the way back to Godzilla 2014, they were trying to kill Godzilla, and I don't think they weren't effective. And I think they knew from then, like, okay, well, the less we disturb these creatures, it's better off, because we just cannot kill some of these. It's going to tear shit up, much like a volcano, you know, or like a Yosemite, or like a national park. Like, you just don't go there because X reason. And while there isn't the same kind of thing for the parks, but they guess they set up a little military force for them. But all that secrecy leads you to believe that Monarch is the bad people, and I don't really think they are, but you know, for the show purposes, they will. And then this is post 2014, so I don't really know if they're, I think they're aware of Kong, but maybe this is prior, this is going to take place prior to Ghidorah. And hopefully we get a little explanation of some other monsters. The one monster in Area 51, I'm kind of concerned with, because I think that has bigger implications going forward. But essentially, everything's top secret. Your characters, Shaw or Lee, I forget what his name is, but he's like a Marine from like the olden days, like Kong days, and I guess they've been knowing for a while what's going on. And they run into the, obviously they run into the dragon that happens to the USS, I forget what ship. And most of the Godzilla heads know, like, but I recognize that ship from the credits in the first film. You know, or I don't know, they had a little info about it. And they're searching, they see radiation in the air, and they actually cleverly wrote that in. Why they were going to investigate it, because they traced a plutonium trail or a radiation trail that went across the sky, but it went in across the sky and wherever they were at. And then it was like, well, it wouldn't be the Russians, because the Russians wouldn't fly that far south. And it definitely was the Americans. So who was it? So they were like, well, we're sent here to investigate it, and we're on the same trail. And they run into the other character, Randa. Yeah. Anyways, he's a cryptozoologist, which I wouldn't have gone with that as his official working title, because I think cryptozoology is kind of one of those fringe science fields that, like, is not taken seriously, like the ancient alien dudes. But they make it kind of seem like he's like a government agent of sorts, and him and the doctor, I can't think of her name at the top of my head. It might be Lee. I'm not sure the characters' names. But they're sent to investigate it. And honestly, that's a great start to the movie, because they're sent to investigate. And that's not even the beginning. The beginning starts with the daughter. Her father has a secret family both in Japan and in San Francisco. She goes to meet up with what is her, like, I would assume would be her second stepmom or whatever. And she's got the keys to the apartment. She barges in. I thought that was kind of weird. But they discover some Monarch tapes, and it happens to be tapes linked to what was going on in the first episode. And also, there's a little bit of pay dirt in there. I'm not going to say that it wasn't. There was plenty of monster footage being shown. I don't know what's going on with Bigfoot. I don't know if Bigfoot's in the Monsterverse. Who's got the rights to Bigfoot? But it is like a Bigfoot creature. That could be, you know, like a Yeti creature. And everybody was on the Bigfoot. But I could see that easily being like, if Monarch could find like several, they could entrain them. I mean, I'm assuming that could be something that's, you know, that could be something there. There could be something there, and, you know, maybe to finally privatize and militarize some of the monsters, but having an elite force that can be undetected and also militarized for a global gain, you know, power is what it. Anyways, this is getting too far to where my brain goes into things. Anyways, Godzilla crashing into the bridge in San Francisco, that's where the girl character, the young girl character, comes into play. And as is the case, Godzilla, every time he moves, is killing people. I think that was explicitly stated in this, that hey, Godzilla is, yes, he does deal with these big monsters, but he leaves a trail of destruction literally everywhere he goes, and a whole bus full of kids just plummets to their death. I thought that was very cold and very chilling. I mean, it was, so I'm assuming they're gonna team up with Godzilla at some point. I don't know how or why yet. But it must be taken with utmost, like, last, I think it's got to be a last resort type of thing, because I mean, like, again, every time he moves, he's liable to just wipe off the face of the earth hundreds of people, thousands of people even. And I'm sure in that Hawaii disaster that was in the 2014, or San Francisco, both, actually Hawaii and San Francisco, I'm pretty sure he left thousands of people dead. And then the events post King of the Monsters, I mean, again, Boston was almost essentially wiped out. San Francisco wiped. Who knows what happened down there in the Gulf with Rodan. I mean, Rodan took out hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, they left a trail of life lost everywhere they went. Ghidorah agitating so many creatures. I mean, they probably wiped out millions. If you actually stop and think about it, had it have been millions. But either way, I mean, you would assume that even Godzilla moving anywhere is going to be a very tricky situation for Monarch and for in this particular series, because the gravity of what he's capable of doing and what has been done is already pretty evident in this, like, that Godzilla is not only a savior of sorts, but also he's essentially a death dealer. Like, there's gonna leave a trail of bodies in his wake. Again, there's it's a little light on the monster action, but that doesn't take away from anything. It's just a little light. Hopefully, we've seen Godzilla show up in the first episode. I actually like that in the world that is the Godzilla world, they're like, you know what? There's a Godzilla warning, like, everywhere. Like, everywhere you go, there's Godzilla warnings, like, evacuation routes. And I actually think that's kind of cool. Like, I wish that Godzilla was real, and I actually had things like that. Like, I need me a placard of Godzilla. Like, that's just a fan of me. Like, that was incredible fan service. You can see it on the buildings. You can see their ground to air, whatever those missiles are called. You see them, like, posted up, and it's like, oh, that's cool as hell. And then they move on to the jungle, and they actually uncover a whole nother, you know, I thought it was Chernobyl at first, but I don't know where they went and seen all those eggs, and then the eggs started hatching. I don't know if the lady's dead. I think she did die there, but I don't know if that's 100% the case. I know Rhonda's hands got fried, and Kurt Russell gave them the ultimate. You got 30 seconds to, or 60 seconds to, you know, essentially, like, make up your mind. They want to find the truth. They want to find the missing dad, if he's dead or not. And he may not be. So there's a lot of stuff that they've wrinkled in there that I did like. And so, yeah, the first two episodes were really good. You know, we'll be tuning in over the next couple of weeks. You know, leading up to Minus One, and then leading up to, hopefully, to King of the the New Empire. I hope by the time this Apple Monarch is done that we've... Because I don't know... Hopefully, they timed it up right. Legendary and Apple TV. Hopefully, they timed it up right. Hopefully, by the time we get because I think a trailer is due. We're imminent on the trailer. It's highly imminent. Coming hopefully before December 1st. So it should be, I'm thinking, this Thanksgiving, during the football games or during the basketball games. But this week, it should be this week. We should be getting a full trailer. We're post the strikes and all that too, so hopefully they're editing and getting it edited together. But hopefully when they do drop the trailer, that it doesn't spoil the Legacy of Monsters series in that, okay, they don't just pop out like Space Godzilla or something, or that Kong suffers it. Hopefully it lines up correctly. And I'm sure they're doing that. I'm sure the execs are well aware, like, they can't just jump the gun on something when people are still watching, you know, this Legacy of Monsters. You know, hopefully they don't do anything dumb. But I expect the trailer from the new Empire to leak or come out hopefully this week, because I'm almost positive that Minus One is coming. And if you're gonna put Godzilla up on the big screen in front of Godzilla fans, you're gonna put up their own Toho, or their own their own legendary Godzilla trailer up on the big screen in front of it. Like, get a double whammy of Godzilla, a 2-for-1 essentially. Like, get it done. Hopefully that's the case. But with all that said, you know, Monarch is good. I think it's just a little tad bit, a little light on the monsters, but I think they got, I mean, it's a series, hopefully they build up to, I want to see a battle of sorts eventually. Like, I want to see an episode where there's like 20 minutes of nothing but Godzilla and monsters and shit, and like no people's, like, they owe, I mean, I'm owed as a fan that, like, if I had to spend the money for Apple TV, I'm owed it as a fan. I'm owed my fucking 20 minutes of glory. I don't mind the story. The story is pretty interesting as far as I'm concerned, but they owe it to me. And again, you know, I don't know how many episodes are going to be. Hopefully it's like 8 to 10. And hopefully they got plenty of room to show some monsters in there. I did like the crab monster fighting the spider, and I'm assuming the crab won. We don't know, but I'm assuming the crab won. The crab suplexed the spider down into the fucking ocean, and at which point, I mean, drowning's inevitable, and the crown is just, that's in his wheelhouse. I mean, it was eating spider for lunch. You know, just what it is. And with that said, we are going to segue over to Muzan is going to have to eat Nezuko to gain the ability to walk during the day. And that's essentially what I've got out of the season 4 of Demon Slayer. The season 4 wasn't particularly good. It was missing Zenitsu, was missing the boar dude. I kind of felt like they put them characters aside. They just introduced two new characters. Tokido, and then the girl, I forget her name. Muchido and Tokido. But Muchido died, but the very first episode of the season probably to me was the best episode. That's when Muzan is essentially talking to all the upper rank demons, telling them that they had to move up in ranks because so and so died, and essentially that he was no close to finding the answer that he was searching for, and that they were a bunch of failures. And you know, you get a look at the upper rank demons, and which is like some of them are pretty cool. There is some, I've never read the mangas or nothing like that. I just watching the shit. The people that got time to fucking read all of the pages in the mangas and everything, I mean, maybe you guys know, but Muzan is essentially Michael Jackson reincarnated as the super evil villain. But I kind of got the sense that some of the other upper ranked demons are also They're also like parodied off of some things. Like the one dude, the jester dude, the funny one, he kind of reminds me of like Loki, or, you know, he's a very whimsical demon, like, what is him, Beelzebub, or not, maybe not Beelzebub, but there's a bunch of like in other animes that character is abundant, and then it actually, in a lot of, you know, it's more of a prankster than a demon. You have the number two, happens to be, I'm assuming, is a Hashira. And then you got the rest of the cast, and I was like, oh shit, that kind of reminds me of this person or that person. You know, they kind of all fighting with each other, which is kind of cool. And then it gets into the season. And the season is kind of like, to me, it was like just a really long fight that didn't, like the first episode was good. Second and third wasn't shit. The third or the fourth was like, okay, they're getting to the fighting. And they stayed fighting those same people up until like the very last episode. And I was like, okay, like I get it. Like, you know, it took several episodes to get to defeat those people. And they're very cool. The Demon Slayer is very well animated. I gotta say that's one of the more cool looking animes. But I mean, I was like, damn, like, it was like, it's kind of like, it was just an okay season. I thought the one before, the Entertainment District arc, was better. Oh shit, red light, oops. I felt that the Entertainment District was better than the Swordsmith District, whatever the fuck. And essentially it boils down to, they're trying to beat the demon, and Nezuko ends up in the sun, and she kicks off Tanjiro to go, so he can go kill the demon to save the people, in which he does, but he thinks that Nezuko is going to die. I thought so too. I was like, damn, he couldn't really make the decision for himself. Ultimately, he kills the demon, and Nezuko burns off, I would assume, is some of her demon abilities. I don't know if all her demon abilities are gone, but she's able to withstand the sun. And now somehow Muzan knows that, you know, he's been searching for a way to walk in the sunlight for thousands of years, or at least 1,000 years. And, you know, Muzan's got to be one of my favorite villains of all time. Like, I watched a lot of, like, he kind of reminds me of a little bit more sinister Hisoka. Hisoka was very different in his approach into things. It's actually a very different take on, like, a clown bad guy. I think Hisoka's got to be one of the top clown evil configurations that there actually is. Because, like, to me, if you put him heads up with the Joker doesn't really fight. He's just more manipulative. And, like, he says he doesn't have a plan, but, I mean, there's obviously an orchestrated pulling of strings to get shit done. But again, he's physically unable to go toe-to-toe with Batman. You know, there's other clowns, like the It character is, I mean, it's iconic. Pennywise is iconic in that sense that everybody knows who he is. But does he really fight? The Terrifier, to me, he's just only, it's whatever, but he doesn't really have the ability to fight. Hisoka has the, anyways, long story short, Hisoka has the ability to fight. and he's salivating at the chance to crop up and prop up Gon and Killua to, he wants to kill him. In which I'm like, yeah, and he actually took it to Gon. It whipped his ass and sent Gon almost spiraling to the fucking Nether Realm. But he, you know, Gon is the shit. Anyways, Muzan, they kind of got the same thing going on with him. Like, he's now, he's got the motivation to not want to kill Nezuko and perhaps Tanjiro. And I'm hoping that that is the case, that, you know, with all the, what they got going on, like, get that done. Like, I want to see that. But Muzan is very powerful, I mean, which was showcased in this even a little bit. Like, he just completely cut the heads off of people and just was like, don't even get near me. And that to me was the shit. Like, his 10 minute part. Muzan, to me, is the best parts of Demon Slayer. Like, the very first episode was the shit. And this last episode, like, half of it was kind of in, but then the last half of it, I was like, this is the shit. This is why I'm watching the show, because the villain is well, he's very well written. I mean, that, like, the character, I'm like, yeah, I want to see him fuck up Nezuko and Tanjiro. I need to see him fuck him up. But ultimately, he's fucking cool as fuck. Like, he's not a vampire. He had some crippling disease, I guess, and they gave him something, but they don't know what. But he ended up fucking up the doctor that fucked him up, and then he was like, fuck, like, now I can't walk in the sunlight, like, the sun hurt him. So I don't know if he's got vampire abilities, or they're just, if he's just Demon Slayer, if he's a, but it, I mean, I guess he is a demon. But I was like, yo, like he's truly like one of the OG vampires, which was cool as fuck to me. Vampires are cool. And I'm just like, okay, like, hopefully, I don't want Demon Slayer to end after five seasons. I hope they do him right and give him like 5 or 6 or 7 seasons, or at least like 6 or 7 or 8 seasons, you know, and have it do it right. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see like a whole season of him. I actually don't mind killing off Nezuko, because Nezuko wasn't really a factor wise going, you know. But I mean, if they're gonna let her live, I mean, I need to see her fight too. Like, and ultimately, I need to see the showdown between Tanjiro and Muzan. And I don't know if we're gonna get it, because Tanjiro, even though he's becoming one of the more prominent demon slayers, he's not the top demon slayer. So I think there's gonna be a couple of top of the demon slayer core to fall to Muzan before it gets to Tanjiro and company. And that's what that, I mean, overall, the season, I give it a 2 thumbs up. I don't think it was as good as the Entertainment District, but it was pretty good overall. Again, I mean, I just wish there was more Muzan in it. Just, I've been wishing there's more Muzan in all of it. And they're slow cooking him too. Like, they need to step up on it a little bit. Hopefully the next season, the season that does drop, hopefully we do get it. And that's what it is, man. I mean, that's my take on Demon Slayer. Finally finished it. I guess after this, you know, after this episode, I mean, I don't know what we'll be discussing next, but I'm going to go to the Chiefs game, so maybe I'll recap Vegas and Thanksgiving afterwards. And then -1 is coming, so we'll have some stuff to talk about here shortly. So hang tight, and I'll get back to you guys on the next couple episodes, or I'll see you guys in a week. Laters.